Two, we on? All righty. I was pleasantly surprised in a very, very good way Tuesday. How shocked everyone was that I was able to make a chocolate chip cookie. I couldn't believe it. I had more praise and high fives for my cookies than any sermon I've ever preached. I go, what? What's going on here? You know, Julie, I said, I'm not Julie. I'm not replacing her, but she's not here, so I brought cookies. You know, you made those? Yeah. I can give you the recipe. Flour, brown sugar, vanilla. Yeah. From scratch. Oh man, time would not allow for me, to go into my French roots on baking. I actually wanted to be a baker in high school. So now, instead of physical food, I focus more on spiritual food, which I better get a lot of high fives after today's lesson. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful to be here, thankful for your truth. And Lord, we're just excited about the things that we've been learning, whether it's at church, Tuesday night, ladies' Bible study, or just our own personal studies, Lord. Continue to encourage us. We're relying on you, Lord, to give us wisdom and discernment. And Lord, we want to be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to go over the marriage and then the marriage supper. What ideas do we have so far? What do you already know about the marriage of the Lamb? What do we know so far in your own personal study? The marriage. Anything? Yep, you're right. It's just for the church. The church is the bride, not the Old Testament saints, not the tribulation saints. Just the New Testament believers from Acts 2, I believe, on until the rapture. Anything else about the marriage? Do you even know where it takes place? The marriage? Okie doke, let's do this. So, this is good. If you're learning this for the first time, I'm excited for you. If you have kind of an idea of how this goes, I'm also excited. But it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be life-changing today because we really don't look and plan our lives when we wake up normally as a bride, as here's what I'm looking forward to, right? So the church right now, born-again believers right now, are looking forward to three events. What are those events? Right now. Rapture? Good. Rapture. What else? We went over it last week. Judgment seat of Christ. And then number three is the marriage of the Lamb. Marriage of the Lamb. Those are the three things that take place in heaven. And we'll go ahead and dive into there. So Revelation chapter 19, we'll go ahead and go there. Revelation 19. And Revelation 19, if you look, we'll start in verse number 5, Revelation 19, 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the sound, like a great multitude as a sound of many waters, and as a sound of mighty thundering saying. Now it's interesting, a fun study, this is totally separate. Is what does God's voice sound like? And many times people say, well, God spoke to me. Well, how did he speak to you? Oh, it's plain English. In the Bible, you always hear when God speaks as a sound of water. So if there's no sound of water when someone's explaining something to me, I doubt God spoke to them. Now, I'm not saying a God spoke to them. I'll clear this up. I'm working on being clear when I speak audibly. When God speaks audibly, so someone can hear, sounds of waters are always in reference with that. Interesting, isn't it? a very fun study. Now you're all spinning, right? Oh, yeah. Let's go. So, back to the context here. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. It was granted her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now watch this. Fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we see here kind of an image of the bride. This is at the second coming when the millennium is going to start. Christ is coming with his bride. All right? So the bride is where? With him in heaven, right? So this negates any thought of a post-tribulation view. A post-tribulation view is as they go up, second coming, and they come right back down. Well, the bride is with Christ, coming with him, right? All right. Sure.
It starts out saying that a voice came from the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like, many waters. But then it says here at the end that voice stops and says, don't worship and do the living God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little confusing because it seems like God is the one talking to the voice of the waters.
Right. Great question. We'll get to that next week.
Okay.
Yep. So, study that on your own. When you see voices of waters and many waters, look that up. And then we'll bring our notes together. All right? All right, so we have the marriage of the Lamb in John chapter 14. Does anybody have that first three or four verses memorized, John 14? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So when we look at a, yep, right. I knew you'd come through, Miss Gale. It's interesting. Out of all of the Old Testament Hebrew weddings I looked up, none of them agreed. I looked at so many different ceremonies from Hebrew tradition, Bible tradition. Non-believer Hebrew tradition. Overall, they had about three or four things that they lined up on. Now, the traditions of those, they're all different. None of them were the same. How they were interpreted, how they were done. Here's the main themes of a Jewish wedding. All right? I'm going to say them right now, then we'll go over them. So the main thing is, number one, is the selection of the bride, right? So the selection of the bride, and then the two parties enter into a marriage covenant, an agreement. They enter into a contract, and, you know, money's transferred over, you know, different things. Payment is required and given, right? And then they're betrothed, so they're engaged. They don't live together during their engagement. They're, you know, separated, and it could take up to a year. So during that time, they're preparing for the wedding, right? That was one of 1,000 interpretations, yes. So we don't know if that's true or not. The traditions change, right? So in the law of Moses, there is like a few things in there that we know for sure how a ceremony is done. Outside of that is people's interpretation. And you're right, that's one of many. Yep. Right, free will. Mm-hmm. Good. So, yes. So they have the bride, the contract's given, they're betrothed, and now they're legally in a legal contract, right? So now if there is adultery, it's punishable by death. So the husband can divorce the wife if he wants in the betrothal period. The only way they can get out of it is if the husband says, I want out. The husband says, I want out, not the wife. The wife can't say, I want out. The husband does. So the husband can say, I want out, I'm writing you a bill of divorce. Okay, so these are all the themes that are true, that have all are all together, right? So during that time, they're betrothed, they're working on the preparations for the wedding. The fiancé, the bridegroom is getting he's in his father's house, and so he's has a separate room attached to that house that he's preparing, all right? The bride's at her house getting ready. So when the time comes that everything's ready, you know, the father says, okay, you're ready. Go and get your bride. So then the bridegroom goes. And as he's going, when he gets close, they announce that he has come. Okay, there's an announcement. The bridegroom is here. And then they get together. Now, there's a lot of traditions what happens there. None of them line up. But all we know is they get together. And the bridegroom brings his bride back to the father's house. Okay, in the Old Testament, in Jewish tradition, in the Old Testament, the bride, the bridegroom, the man, was the center of the wedding, not the woman. The man was the one that was looked up to, not the woman. It wasn't the wife's, it wasn't the groom's day, it was the bridegroom day, it was the husband's day. Interesting, huh? So he takes her, he brings her into the house. Right, and as they're coming back, there's a great procession. There's a lot of joyfulness. They're bringing their friends that are invited, and so they're coming together in a big, huge party going back to his father's house with the bride. They go in to the room. They consummate the marriage, and when they come out, those that were invited, they have the feast. Now, that is all the same. There's a lot in there on how the in-between things look. Okay, so we won't focus on the in-between things. We'll just focus on what we know, right? So here's what I know. I enjoy little things, little traditional things. I enjoy all those, but none of those lined up with anything. I didn't find one reference to where I had three of them said the same thing outside of what I just told you right here. Does that make sense? So that's what we know for sure. Now, on your own, before I get into my notes, with what I just said, what comes to your mind? What Bible verses or what God is doing, what Christ is doing, how do you see a traditional Jewish marriage from what we know, you know, in the same application or mirrored with the believers in Christ? What do you guys see there? All right, so the bride is the church, right? Let's go ahead and go there. Ephesians chapter 5. The bride is the church. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 22. Now again, Ephesians 5 is really about Christ and the church. We get marriage ideas from it, but the context is Christ and his church. Ephesians 5, 22, wives, be submissive to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head and the Savior of the church, which is his body. But as the church submits to Christ, so also let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Jesus, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So now here's what a bride is supposed to be doing while she's waiting, right? That he might present himself, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing in the water of the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, that is the idea during the betrothal period that the bride has while she's waiting to be received, right? The bride is waiting for the bridegroom to receive her unto himself and to take her to his father's house. So, the rapture is the reception. At the rapture, Christ is coming for his bride, right? At the rapture. The rapture, he comes down and, you know, somewhere in the atmosphere, and we go up to meet him, right? So the rapture is the bridegroom coming for his bride to take her to his father's house, which John 14 says, where he has prepared a place for us, right? The marriage happens in heaven. So the marriage happens in heaven. Christ comes to get his church that he's wanting right now to work on being blameless and spotless without blemish. Revelation 19, if you notice that there's going to come a day when we get our wedding gown. We're going to get our wedding gown. Each person's works will be displayed through their wedding gown, their works for Christ. So however bright your righteousness is for Christ, or allowing Christ's righteousness to work through you, that's how bright your gown's going to be when you come with Christ to earth, Revelation 19. Let's go back over Revelation 19. And go down to verse number 7. Revelation 19, 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who's the wife? The church, right? The church. The wife has made herself ready. It was granted her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now watch this. Fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So however fine linen that I have is going to be displayed. My righteous deeds are going to be seen by everyone. However white my garment is, however, everyone's going to get a wedding garment, right? Thank God. But I don't know if you guys have heard this. I've heard this in the past where people have said, you know, I'm just thankful I'm allowed in there. I'm just thankful I'm going to heaven. That's a horrible mindset to have. Horrible mindset to have. I just thank God I'm just able to go there. I'm just thankful that, you know, it's so humbling. Yes, but you can't stay there. There's some works that need to be done, right? We have a judgment seat of Christ. We have our righteous deeds being shown in our wedding garment. Like, let's get to work, you know? Let that motivate us to do so, to live for Christ, to no more be like, hey, you know what? Now, we're going to get to this in Romans, but you guys, I think, have had some experience with this with people. You know, well, I'm always going to struggle with a sin. That's not true. Well, I'm still going to sin, but you don't have to, right? It's what kind of mindset do you have? Where's your heart at? Because the Bible tells us, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what Romans 6 is all about, not sinning. I don't have to sin. So my focus isn't on, well, I'm always going to sin, or I'm always going to... No, my focus is on, I want rewards for my Savior. I want gold, silver, precious stone. I want a very bright, bright, radiant wedding gown. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Right. Love it. So they're connected. Now, we don't believe that works save someone. I love James. He says, my faith produces work. I believe it so much, it's changed the way I live. So when I see someone's faith, when someone says, when they start bragging about their faith, talking about how much faith they have, and they're a believer, they have faith, and then I start seeing, okay, how are you living for Christ? What you're saying and how you're living either A, thank God is lining up, praise the Lord, or A, what they say and B, what they do is not lining up. So no more talking about our faith, it's living it out. I believe it so much, it's changed the decisions I make on a day-to-day basis, beyond who I vote for, beyond the politics. No, it's changing how I treat my children. It's changing how I treat people in my church. It's changing how I treat God's children. Like I told you guys before, anytime someone is born again, I'm talking to them. Whether they're in sin, not in sin, they're at my church, not at our church, I don't care. But as soon as I know they're a child of God, a fear comes over me even more than me just on my own being hospitable, being gentle, being kind. That's supernatural. I'm talking to someone, the fruit of the Spirit's already coming out. Now when they say, hey, you know, I'm a born-again child of God, I accepted Christ as my Savior, now even more of fear comes over me. Because now it's just not me doing what I know what to do to that person. Now it's me giving advice to someone or helping someone who's a child of God. See the difference? That is, there's so many facets there. There are child of God. There are bride of Christ. You think I'm going to mess with someone else's wife? You think I'm going to mess with Jesus' wife? Uh-uh. Well, they're in sin. You need to rebuke them. Okay. Now, if I do need to do that, I'm going to be very careful how I rebuke someone else's wife. Right? I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to choose my words wisely when I rebuke Jesus Christ's wife. So it promotes me even more to have love towards them, right? It stops me. It stops us, I should say, to go at, okay, you're a child of God. You're my Savior's bride also. I'm still going to do what I'm told to do, whether it's to encourage or to rebuke or to correct, but how I do it now has changed, right? How I do it has changed. Because of that view. You see how a view of a bride kind of changes how you do things now? It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's really cool. Go ahead. It's deep. It is, right? In application, the context is Jesus is the Word. So Jesus, as I have a relationship with my Savior, He will cleanse me. So the washing is a process, right? Christ in the Ephesians is doing the washing. But He can only do the washing in my condition right now as I allow Him to. So my obedience comes in on, He can show me in scriptural information. Right? We'll go down this rabbit trail real quick. He can show us His Scripture. He can bring to us biblical information. He can convict us to wash us, right? Because He is the Word in us. The Word of God we have written down is going to wash us inside. Now, if I say no, He won't force the washing on me. Does that make sense? Now, He wants to do that. He's wanting to prepare me to be with Him in His Father's house. But if I say, that's where free will comes in, which goes right back to Michael's point. Free will comes in and I can say, no, I don't want to be washed. I'm going to resist the washing. I'm going to resist the blemish. I'm going to resist spotlessness. I'm going to resist that. Christ can only do so much. Holy Spirit can only do so much. So, as He reveals things, we in our obedience allow that washing and regeneration, not regeneration, that's a verse, never mind, washing to happen as I obey and yield. But in an application, yes, I can go with my wife, we can go through Scripture together and allow God to go through us together to be washed and cleansed, yes. On the context, is Christ is doing the washing through His Word. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. So even the tribulation saints, they aren't receiving God's wrath, but they have to endure till the end. Right? The gospel changes there. Now there's a huge onslaught of persecution towards them, to where they're going to, most of them are going to be martyrs. You know, there's going to be a lot that do go into the millennial kingdom, but there's going to be a lot that are killed for Christ. And no, it's not an appointing to God's children to wrath. So the 7-year period of the tribulation is considered God's wrath. So just the church going through it, let's just say the church is protected, right, through God's wrath. You know, there's the church, God isn't using the church, or Christ is using the church through that 7-year tribulation period. He's going back to the Jews. If the church was still there in the 7 years, it's different that he would choose 144,000 Jews. He would use the church like he is now. All right, so everything in the Old Testament links back to the nation of Israel during the full 7-year period. And note, the wrath of God, God doesn't use wrath to cleanse his church. He uses his word. He uses the Holy Spirit. And our obedience to him allows the cleansing to happen. Right. Yes. That makes sense, Julie? Yeah. So that's not true according to what we believe. Yeah. Excellent. All right. I haven't gotten to any of my notes yet, but that's okay. So we see here with the marriage, some people believe that the marriage supper, I'll just take through my notes real quick. Come on in, guys. Take a seat. The marriage supper is going to happen in heaven. Some people believe that. Most believe it's going to be on the earth, and here's why. Now you can have your own opinion. It's not going to matter to me. I don't care where the actual supper takes place. I'll just show why people believe it's on the earth. Okay? Because it says down here, in verse 9, that Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, "Right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." So when Christ comes down to the earth, the millennial reign, and wipes out, you know, the Satan and the armies, according to Daniel, there's a 75-day period. A lot of people think that 75-day period is the marriage supper right there, because the tribulation saints can partake. They're the invited guests. The tribulation saints can be a part of the marriage supper. Old Testament saints are part of the supper. So that can't happen unless it's on the earth. Right? Tribulation saints can't partake of the supper unless it's on the earth. That's their main argument. So, before we close in prayer, any questions? Now, what I don't want is you guys to be even more confused. Rapture, judgment seat, wedding ceremony, come to the earth, marriage feast. Because now the invited guests can partake with the bride and groom, the feast, the joyful part. So you got to remember. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being good to us today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, just bless our next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.